Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Izzy Wells. We come together with more than 25 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra wisdom, clairvoyant techniques, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Reiki Cafe Radio. This week on the show, we're going to be talking about 20 energetic hygiene tips that you can use to keep your energy protected and clear. The past few episodes on the show, we've been talking about things like spiritual gifts or energetic protection when traveling, and today's episode is really to help round out these topics and give you some tangible tools, techniques, and exercises that you can use to help keep your energy clear and protected. Our energy requires upkeep and attention, just like our physical bodies. When we're not practicing good energetic hygiene, it can be really easy to let what I call the spiritual dust of life accumulate in our chakras, on our aura, in our meridians, etc. And our energetic selves get depleted. They get stagnant. They start to not feel very good. And when our energy doesn't feel good, our physical body doesn't feel good. Our emotions don't feel good. Our thoughts don't feel good. And so practicing energetic hygiene is incredibly important. But a lot of practitioners and spiritual seekers, highly sensitive people, empaths, everyone who particularly needs these practices of energetic hygiene, a lot of us find ourselves wondering, well, how do I do this? How is it that I can protect my energy? Why is it important? What are some easy tips and techniques I can do throughout the day to feel like my energy is being supported? Because we all know how to care for our physical bodies, right? We hear every day, drink water, eat good food, get some movement in. We have a natural understanding of what our physical bodies need, and it's something that we talk about a lot in daily life. But very rarely do we talk about how to pay attention to and keep our energies healthy and flowing. And so that's what today's episode is dedicated to. So let's dive right in. This is a collection of 20 tips and tricks for your energetic hygiene and upkeep that are from your Reiki Cafe University team. So Chantel, Christine, and myself pooled all of our favorite energetic hygiene and protection techniques and rituals. And that's what we're giving you today on the show. These are listed in no particular order, and I encourage you, as you listen to this episode, grab a notebook, take notes. What resonates? What sounds like it could be good to try? Know that not all of these are going to work for you, and some may work better than others. That's totally okay. Everyone is really unique in their own energy and how we feed ourselves, how we nurture ourselves, how we nourish our energies and nourish our souls is going to be different. So let's dive in. First up is intention, affirmation, and prayer. Intention, affirmation, and prayer have a lot of similarities because these are ways that we're using our words and our intention to direct energy, right? There's that saying of energy goes where intention flows, or energy flows where intention goes. You might hear it both ways. It's this idea that when we set our intention on something, energy is then directed that way. Whether you want to think about this from a psychological perspective of knowing that when a thought is instigated, when we have a stimulus in our brain, then our neural energy is going towards that, our synapses are firing in the direction of that thought. Or you want to think about it from an energetic perspective of, you know, we've shown in quantum physics, there's this amazing phenomenon called the observer effect, that when an experimenter has an intention or a predicted outcome for an experiment, it actually influences the outcome of the study itself. Showing that our intention is incredibly powerful and energy actually does follow our intentions. And so when we're talking about protecting our energy, whether we are practitioners and we don't want to pick up other people's energy while we're working on them, or we're empaths and we want to get better about not taking on other people's emotions, whatever these aspects of your energy are that you're trying to keep in a state of flow, having a really clear intention is incredibly helpful because it helps create a container, a direction for that energy to go. And so before you go into a session, before you engage in a conversation with another person, asking yourself things or setting the intention of something like, you know, my energy is mine and mine alone. I set the intention that this interaction will feed both of us without taking away from either. I set the intention that my energy is protected and clear. I claim that my energy is sovereign and untouchable, whatever it is for you, right? And this is also where it can turn into an affirmation. If you're someone who really resonates with affirmations, then you can just have an affirmation in your head. Again, like, my energy is mine and mine alone, or I am clear, happy, healthy, and whole. That was mine for a while. If you have an affirmation that when you say it really helps you feel solid in your energy. It helps you feel like you are exactly where you're meant to be, that your energy truly is yours and yours alone. That is going to be really, really helpful when it comes to upkeeping your energetic hygiene. Because again, if you have that intention, if you have that awareness, if you are affirming that your energy is clear and healed, etc., then that's what your energy is going to be, because it is connected, because it is affirming that, because that is the intention that you have set for yourself. This can also then translate into something like prayer. A lot of spiritual seekers have some interesting emotions around prayer, right? Especially if we had a religious upbringing, prayer can be a sticky topic, but it can also be a really beautiful source of upliftment and intention for people. And so if you're someone who resonates more with prayer, maybe bringing that in, praying to God, source, universe, praying to your higher self, praying to your spirit guides, whatever that looks like for you, knowing that there's no wrong way, there's no right way. This is completely up to you. The biggest thing about using intention, affirmation, and prayer is that it has to feel true for you. So if I give you the affirmation, my energy is clear, happy, healthy, and whole, to me, that feels really empowering and really strengthening in my own energy. But to you, it might not feel like anything. And so if you go and use that affirmation in your own practice, you might find that it doesn't really feel good. It doesn't really feel like it's doing anything. But what's happening is that you've chosen an affirmation that doesn't resonate for you. It doesn't resonate for your energy. And so intention, affirmation, and prayer are all highly personal. And so this is looking at what makes you feel good, what makes you feel connected, what makes you feel really solid, empowered, and confident when you say it or when you practice this ritual, and go with that. Allow that to be enough for your practice, because again, the biggest thing about intention is it's what's happening in our energy, what our beliefs are pointing us to. And so if we're using an affirmation that we really believe in, that's going to be so much more effective in helping to clear, cleanse, and protect our energy than stating an intention that we only half believe in. The next tip on this list is having a sovereignty statement. Now, there are a lot of different ways to have a sovereignty statement, but essentially what it is it's a phrase or a series of phrases that you repeat at the end of the day, in the morning, before you go into an interaction, that claim the sovereignty of your energy, that really uphold and declare that your energy is yours and yours alone, that you are a sovereign energetic being, and that you can claim, you can hold on to your energy. You don't have to let it leak out. You don't have to let it be pulled on by other people. You don't have to pick on other people's emotions. And so a sovereignty statement is something that has an opening. Maybe you're calling in your spirit animals, your power guides. Maybe you're calling upon your archangels, your higher self, God, source, spirit, universe, whatever, whichever, helping beings, members of your spirit team that you want to be in this ritual with you, in your life with you, protecting you, guiding you, giving you wisdom, affirmation, etc. Then you have kind of what I call your guidance call. This is where you're asking for guidance or support or protection from these members of your spirit team. Then you have the reclaim and recall section. And this is where you're using that intention or affirmation of, my energy is mine and mine alone. I reclaim and recall all of my energy, and I release what's no longer serving me. It's this phrase that you're using to truly claim your own energy, to claim that no one can touch you. Nothing can touch you. You are not going to give away your energy for free today. It is yours and yours alone. Then you have your acknowledgement phrase. And your acknowledgement phrase is when you're setting your intention, when you're acknowledging how you want to be living your life, right? We don't want to be living life in a state of energetic flux. We don't want to be throwing out our energy to the person sitting next to us. We don't want to be picking up energy or emotions from the person sitting next to us, right? And so this is where really thinking about, what are your values in your life? What are your intentions for your life? What are the things that you want to embody as you step forward? You know, do you want to be authentic? Do you want to have integrity? Do you want to feel compassion or love or kindness? This is the moment where you're going to say, my energy is mine and mine alone. And I step forward in integrity, authenticity, compassion, love. I will walk through today feeling connected to myself and those around me, embodying the confidence of my higher self. This is where you're really pulling in, you're claiming all that you want to experience in your day, in your life, in your week. Then you have the release phrase. And this is where you go back to, I completely and fully release all energies, emotions, thoughts, feelings that are holding me back, that no longer serve me. I release them to Mother Earth for her reuse and recycling. Something that allows you to give your energetic releases a place to go so that they're no longer part of you. You release them. Then you have your gratitude phrase, where you're expressing gratitude for the spirit team that you called in, for the life that you're living, for yourself, for practicing this ritual, for the day that you got to experience, whatever it is that you feel like bringing gratitude in for. And then a closing statement. This is something that seals it all in, that really makes it feel complete. This could be something like, and so it is, or thank you, thank you, thank you. It could be ashe, amen, etc. All of these kind of closing phrases that we have. And when you put all these pieces together, you have a sheet of paper that has 2 to 3 paragraphs on it that become your sovereignty statement. And what a sovereignty statement does is it allows you to really claim your energy, to step into your sovereignty, because when we are really solid in our energy, nothing can influence it. If we aren't giving permission on a conscious or subconscious level for our energy to be taken or influenced or pushed on or whatever it might be, then nothing can happen. And so this is where having a sovereignty statement can be really powerful. And so I would encourage you to follow that practice, right? Create your sovereignty statement with your opening phrase, your guidance call, your reclaim and recall phrase, your acknowledgement phrase, your release phrase, your gratitude, and your closing statement. So 7 parts. Make your sovereignty statement. When you read it out loud, it should feel empowering. It should feel like your energy is coming back, like you're stepping into yourself, like you're exactly where you're meant to be. Create your sovereignty statement, say it once a day for 21 days and see what happens. There's a 21-day delay between things happening in the 5th dimension or the energetic dimension and things happening in the 3rd dimension. So it takes 21 days for things to go from the energy to being part of our physical world. So the longer that you're using your sovereignty statement consistently, the better results you're going to see, because what's happening is in the energy, you are claiming that you are protected, that your energy is yours, that you are whole, that you are healed, that you are clear, whatever it is that you're affirming. And 21 days later, it's going to become a physical reality too. You're going to see those effects in your physical life. Maybe you go to the grocery store and you don't feel overwhelmed anymore. Maybe you're able to have a conversation with your friend and not feel triggered. Maybe you're able to, you know, just go through the day and feel peaceful, whatever it is for you. Try it. See what happens. The next is using something like sage or Palo Santo to cleanse and clear your space. Whether you're purchasing sage from a metaphysical shop or you have your own garden and you create bundles of things like rosemary and rose petals and juniper, etc., whatever you choose to do, the element of using smoke and fire and something from the earth to cleanse and clear your house, to cleanse and clear yourself, can be incredibly powerful. This is a practice that has been used for hundreds of years, and there are actually scientific studies showing now that things like sage actually have really high antibacterial effects as well. So there are tangible health benefits that science is showing. But beyond that, there are these energetic impacts of using these tools that help us reconnect to ourselves, that help us release anything that's no longer serving us, that help us reconnect to spirit, to nature, right? And so this is a really beautiful exercise, especially when you pair it with tip number 1, where you're using your intention, or your affirmation or your prayer to set that intention of, I release and clear all negative energies, thoughts, emotions, beliefs that are no longer serving me, right? As you're using the sage, maybe you have a feather in your spiritual toolkit and you can use that to brush away any lingering energies as the smoke washes over you. And then you bring in your Palo Santo and, you know, I call in only the clearest, most positive, most loving energies to uplift and hold space for me today. Whatever that looks like for you, when we combine these elements, we're really working with nature, not just our nature, our innate ability to connect to energy, to connect to life, but also the elements of nature, right? Earth, fire, wind. When we're using nature, which is something we'll talk about more in a minute, that's when we can feel really grounded and rooted in our energy. And that's something that's incredibly important for energetic hygiene, because in the spiritual community, we tend to get really lost up in our crown chakra. We tend to have really active upper chakras, but our lower chakras aren't as developed or aren't as active or aren't as balanced. And so the more grounded we can be in this physical experience, whether that's grounded in your physical body, grounded in nature, whatever that looks like for you, the more grounded we can be, the more clear our energy will be. Because when we're grounded, when we're rooted, then that energy that we're releasing has somewhere to go. Instead of just kind of staying and swirling around our head and causing us to feel a little flighty, a little dizzy, a little not all here, that energy then can then sink into the earth and be released and transmuted. This is also where things like crystals come in really handy. There are so many amazing crystals for energetic cleansing. My personal favorite is selenite. Clear quartz is another good one. Obsidian is great for grounding. So is tourmaline. There are so many amazing crystals that you can use to cleanse and clear your energy, but also to keep on you when you're living your day-to-day life. This is where going to a metaphysical shop with someone who really knows their crystals and telling them about your life, telling them about your situation, telling them what you're working on and saying, what's the best crystal for me? And letting them guide you, or even better, going into a crystal shop and letting your intuition pick out your crystal. Your intuition knows so much more than your mind or Google ever could about what crystal you need in each moment. And so the more you let your intuition lead the way when you step into a metaphysical shop, the better the results are going to be, because you're going to allow your energy to pick the energy that it needs in that crystal. So using crystals can be an incredibly beautiful practice, whether you're looking to ground or to clear your energy or to uplift your energy or whatever it is, using crystals in your practice, even if you're, you know, you put them in your bra or you find one that can be put in water and you put it in your water bottle, or you wear a bracelet or some earrings or a necklace that have that gem on it. Maybe you have it sitting in a corner of your desk and it's helping with the energy that way. Maybe you're holding it. Maybe you have one in your shoe. I've heard people do that before. You know, there are so many different ways to use crystals, and they can stay with us even when we're not in the middle of a deep spiritual practice, right? We don't have to be meditating or doing Reiki in order for a crystal to work. We can keep them on our person always and continue to experience those benefits in our daily life. Then we have what I like to call the violet light or violet aura exercise. And this is where you close your eyes, you take a few deep breaths, you get really grounded in yourself, and then you visualize this beautiful, vibrant violet light surrounding your energy, completely encompassing you, holding you in this really clear energetic space, knowing that this violet light is protecting you, that it's shielding you, that it is keeping you in your own energy. And you just feel that effect, feel that violet light cleansing you, clearing you, protecting you, supporting you, taking three deep breaths inside that energy, and just letting yourself be purified, letting yourself be cleansed. You can also do this with white light, is another way to do this. You can visualize yourself surrounded by white light, feeling that same effect of being uplifted, cleansed, cleared, supported. This is a really powerful exercise, and I personally love to do it after all of my sessions. Then we have calling in your spirit team, right? We talked about this as part of your sovereignty statement, but this can be something that is incredibly powerful in and of itself, right? Whether we're calling on your power animal or your primary spirit guide, if you know them, or you're calling in your loving ancestors, your higher self, God, source, spirit, universe, right? This, the energy of compassion, the energy of love, the energy of protection. Maybe you're calling upon the nature spirits or whoever it is. Maybe you're a shamanic practitioner and you want to call in the directions, right? We all have, whether we are on a first name basis with them, if you will, or we just kind of know they're there sometimes, we all have a really supportive, loving spirit team available to us that are just waiting for us. They're waiting for us to call upon them so that they can come and support us. Because the thing is, they won't interfere with our autonomy. They won't take away our free will. And so even if we're wanting them to come in, if we're open to their support, if we're not actively claiming and calling them in and welcoming them into our lives and our practice, they can only come so close. They can only do so much. But when we actively call them in, when we say, you know, I welcome you into my life, I call upon my spirit guide, I call upon my power animal, I call upon God, the universe, source. I call upon you to be with me, to guide me, to protect me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. When we call in our spirit team, even if you don't know who they are, right? Something as simple as I call upon my spirit team, or I have a client who her way of calling them in is I call upon my benevolent star family, right? Whatever it is for you, however it resonates for you, like we were talking about in tip number one, however it resonates for you, calling in your spirit team can be so powerful because then you have energetic beings who exist at the level of your energy working with you to guide you, to protect you, to keep you safe. And you're actively calling them in. You're nurturing that relationship. Even if you don't have a working relationship with them yet, even if you're not sure who they are, or especially if you know who they are, right? It doesn't matter to them. They want to support us no matter where we are on our journey. And the more we engage with them, the more we invite them into our daily life, the easier it gets to work with them, to ask them specific questions and get answers, to have them protect our energy fully, right? Calling in your spirit team is an incredibly powerful tool. Then we also have movement, right? Swinging the body, just letting your head drop and then come up, creating full body swings, maybe swinging your arms, doing arm circles, swinging your legs. You can also do an exercise from, I believe it's a Qigong exercise. It's called beating of the bones, where you make a fist with one hand and then you kind of stretch out the fingers so that they're flat. So the fronts of your fingers are flat against your palm. So it almost looks like a flat fist or, the letter O, I believe in ASL, right? And then you take that flat fist and you just pat down the tops of your arms with that flat fist four times. And then you do the other arm. And then you pat down underneath your arm and underneath your arm. And then you pat down your torso from your breastbone down to your pubic bone. And then you pat down each side of your body. And then you pat from your hips all the way down to your feet. And you do all of those four times. And then at the end, you can brush. You can use your hands to brush that same pathway, tops of the arms, bottoms of the arms, torso, legs, brush away the energy, and then notice how you feel. When we're doing this, what we're doing is we're breaking up stagnant energy. We're allowing these pockets of spiritual dust or emotion or energy or whatever it is that we've picked up through the day, we're allowing them to be broken up so that they can continue to process and move instead of getting stagnant and stuck. And so when we do that, when we allow things to just flow and we shake our body or we swing our body or we pat on our body or we swipe down our body, when we're doing these motions, then the energy can be released and it can process and it can keep moving. And so bringing in those more cyclical energies of swinging or shaking or whatever it is are incredibly helpful, especially something like shaking your body, which is actually what your body does in a trauma response, right? You start to shake. But studies have actually shown in a lot of somatic healing techniques include shaking your body because it's your body's way of resetting your nervous system. So the next time that you're feeling really antsy or overwhelmed or you have that like staticky feeling in your energy, try giving your body a shake. Try brushing down your arms. Try swinging your arms. Try swinging your torso. Whatever that looks like for you, let yourself move your body and see what happens. The next tip is engaging in creativity, right? The act of expression is incredibly important in keeping our energy moving because our energy is a system, right? We have our chakras, we have our meridians, we have our pressure points, we have so many aspects of our energy, our aura, our electromagnetic field, all of these aspects of our energy that's constantly moving, right? Energy is always in motion. And so when we are engaging in something creative, when we're using that sense of expression, it's allowing that cycle to continue. It's allowing that energy to flow out of us so that then we're ready to receive something new. And so the more we continue that cycle, not only in our own energy, but also in this exchange that we have between us and the physical world of putting something out into the world and receiving something back, we allow that energy to continue to flow. So you don't have to be a master painter, you don't have to be a sculptor, you don't have to be a poet. It doesn't matter how you're creating or what creativity means to you. But as long as you feel like you are expressing yourself, that could be having coffee with a friend and just being really honest about what your life's been like lately. That could be sitting down with a coloring book. That could be picking up a new hobby. That could be building a desk for your significant other, right? It doesn't matter what it is. So long as you feel like you are expressing your energy, you are putting something out into the world. That is an incredibly beautiful way to practice energetic hygiene because not only are you continuing that cycle of energy, but you're also feeding yourself as a human being, right? You are feeding your interests, you're feeding your energy, you're nourishing your soul by investing time in yourself, no matter what that looks like. And you're also giving back a little bit to the world around you. You're leaving a mark, you're making a moment for yourself that's not about work or family or someone else. It's just about you and creating and expressing. And that's so, so important, not only for our energetic hygiene, but also for our mental health. So if you haven't done something like that for yourself lately, I encourage you to take some time and do that today. So next we have tapping our meridian points or practicing something like EFT, right? So EFT is emotional freedom technique. It's a technique that was developed to help us process difficult emotions, things like anxiety, depression, limiting beliefs, etc. You can look it up on YouTube. There are some amazing EFT channels that guide you through EFT practices. But basically the idea is that by tapping on our meridian points all over our body, we can activate our energy and stimulate not only healing and the flow of energy, but also a release and healing of whatever might be stuck, whatever might be stagnant. We can open up our energy channels and let things flow. And so whether that's, you know, you find that there's a spot on your collarbone that's kind of sore and you just let yourself kind of push on that and wiggle it around for a few minutes, or you go and you Google, you know, an acupressure meditation, or you look at emotional freedom technique. EFT is really popular. It's something that a lot of our clients and students really love to do. And again, you can go on YouTube and there are 5-minute videos that guide you through this tapping exercise where you're tapping on these different meridian points, combining it with this intention and an affirmation piece where you have a phrase that you're repeating. And then you're bringing in that breath to help move the energy. That's another amazing, amazing technique. The next one is called victory pose. This is where you stand tall, you put your feet a little wider than hip distance, and you spread your arms out wide and you lift up your chin and you kind of jut out your solar plexus. It's a yoga pose, but it's also been shown that if you hold this pose for 3 to 5 minutes, there have been some really fascinating studies on the impact to our emotional and energetic health that show that actually just engaging with this pose, even if you do it now while you're listening to me, just spreading your arms out, lifting up your chin, expanding your chest, even just a little bit, and you can feel the difference. You can feel that empowerment. You can feel your energy expanding. And so this is a great exercise for when you need a quick pick-me-up during the day, when you need a quick energetic reset to feel confident, to feel empowered, to feel really solid in your energy again. Then we have things like taking an Epsom salt bath, right? Or putting baking soda in the bath with you. When you engage with, again, those elements that we talked about when we were covering sage and Palo Santo, when we're engaging with the elements, When you're engaging with the elements, it gets us again connected to ourselves and to nature. And so taking an Epsom salt bath can, again, not only be incredibly grounding, but it also, the water can help to reset our energy, to clear and cleanse our energy, and to help us feel more connected with ourselves. You can also do a white light shower where you're envisioning that white light pouring down on you, washing away any energy that you've picked up, any spiritual dust that has accumulated. You're just envisioning it washing you away. Some people even visualize that spiritual dust or that energy or stuck emotions or whatever it is as a gray mist on top of them. And then they visualize that white light pouring down and cleansing and clearing away all the gray. You could also, if you have Reiki in your practice, you can use Reiki to Reiki the shower head and set the intention that that Reiki energy will come out through the water. And then as you're standing under that water, you will receive not only the blessings of that water clearing and cleansing your energy, but also receive that Reiki into your energy field and into your soul and into yourself to help reset. You can also, of course, do self-Reiki. So whether you practice with the hand positions or you're just doing a quick Reiki blast to your heart or you're using the chakras to activate the chakras using Reiki, whatever self-Reiki looks like for you, it is an excellent way, whether you practice for a minute or an hour, it's an excellent way to practice energetic hygiene. You can also spend time in nature. And this also goes along with the next tip. So we kind of have a two for one here, where you can spend time in nature or you can work with the elements. We've touched on both of these during this episode, but they're really important to highlight on their own. When we're working with nature, right? Nature is a reflection of our own internal nature. When we get to spend time with the trees, what a lot of indigenous tribes called the standing beings, right? When we can engage with the trees, with the flowers, with the grass, with the animals, we're reminded of the constancy that nature has, of the continuous flow that nature experiences in the energy, in the weather cycles, in growth. There's a continuous cycle of death and rebirth that occurs in nature that when we spend time outside, when we put our feet in the grass, when we hug a tree, right? Whatever spending time in nature looks like for you, we're reminded of our own inner cycles, of what it means to truly nourish ourselves, of what it means to really be connected to our own nature and to the spirit of things. And then when we work with the elements, which is the next tip, when we work with the elements, we're bringing in air, fire, water, and earth, which are our own elements, right? We are those elements of air, fire, water, and earth in a physical being. And so when we're connecting with those, whether we're connecting with earth through the use of Palo Santo or by going and hugging a tree, or we're using fire by lighting a candle or lighting the sage, right? Or sitting in front of an open flame and allowing it to wash away and burn away what's no longer serving us. If we're engaging with water by sitting by a creek or taking a shower or a bath, if we're using air by doing breath work, taking those three deep breaths, using that smoke from the sage to blow across our bodies, across our auras, across our homes, when we engage with the elements, we engage with the deeper nature of ourselves. And that's incredibly important. And so getting creative in how you work with the elements. What are some other ways that you can bring the elements into your energetic hygiene practice? I'd love to hear about them. Send me a message over on Facebook. Join us in the Reiki Cafe community or send us an email at admin@ReikiCafeUniversity.com and let us know, how do you work with the elements in your own energetic hygiene rituals? So next up, we have using sound healing. Again, this is another way of working with the elements, using that air, using those vibrations to heal ourselves. There's also some amazing science behind things like biotuning and using tuning forks to actually tune your biomagnetic field, right? But we also have things like sound bowls or using the drum. If you're a shamanic practitioner, using that drum beat to alter your energetic state of consciousness, using a rattle, again, to break up those energies and call in the helping spirits, using a singing bowl to reattune your energy, to help it clear, to help it resonate at a more vibrant, clear frequency, right? Sound healing is incredibly powerful. We also have gratitude, expressing gratitude. We talked about this again in our sovereignty statement. Using gratitude to thank ourselves, gratitude for this amazing life we have, gratitude for the fact that the sun always rises in the east and always sets in the west, gratitude for the food that we have, the water that we have, for the opportunity to get better, the opportunity to try again, right? When we fail, when we get triggered, when we get frustrated, can we find gratitude for the fact that it's just an opportunity? It's just another opportunity to heal. It's just another opportunity to try again. So whether that looks like expressing gratitude throughout your day or making a point to write down 5 things you're grateful for at the end of the day, gratitude is an incredible way to seal and uplift your energy, because when our vibration is uplifted, our energy is uplifted, our health is uplifted, our emotions are uplifted, everything in us is uplifted. And those internal results are internal changes create external results, right? Then we have doing an aura sweep. So just taking your hands and running them over your aura, feeling into the energy of your aura, noticing places that feel stickier or denser or heavier, finding places that maybe feel brittle and sending them Reiki, right? Doing an aura cleanse can be incredibly powerful in a short period of time. And of course, I always tell our students, never, ever, ever underestimate the power of 3 deep breaths. There have been some amazing studies done that show that even just taking 3 mindful deep breaths resets your central nervous system, helps get you back into that parasympathetic nervous system, and brings you back into the present moment. So even if it seems really simple, even if it seems really easy, even if it feels maybe too good to be true, 3 deep breaths can be incredibly helpful, which also feeds into breath work, right? Doing breath work exercises, doing pranayama, etc., can be really helpful. Alternate nostril breathing is another one, right? When we use the breath, when we use that air element in our own bodies, we're again helping that energy to release and circulate. And then, of course, the last and potentially most important tip is watching your intake, right? So we talked about at the very beginning how to nurture our physical bodies, we watch what we're eating, we drink some really good water, right? But those things also nurture our energy, because anything that we bring in, whether it's food, water, TV, books, music, anything we bring in is impacting our energy. And this was actually shown in the work of Dr. Masaru Emoto. You might know him by his book, I believe it's called The Hidden Messages in Water. And he was a scientist who did a series of experiments where he looked at the crystalline structure of frozen water, and then he played different kinds of music that could be classical versus metal music, or he put the word love versus the word hate on top of the water and saw what the vibration of those words, the vibration of that music, the intention of the phrases he was putting, how those impacted the structure of the crystals that water forms. And he found that hateful words or metal music or horror films created these really disjointed, malformed crystals, whereas classical music or words like love or really beautiful songs or images created these beautiful symmetrical crystals. And what he was really showing is that our intention, what we intake, the things that are happening around us truly do impact water. And what that means is that because we as human beings are more than 75% water, imagine how much your thoughts, your emotions, the books you're reading, the music you listen to, the people you're talking to, the phrases you're using, imagine how much those are impacting you. Imagine how much those are impacting your energetic well-being, right? And so getting really clear on, are these the things that you want to be bringing in? Do you want to be listening to that metal music in the car? Or could you maybe listen to an uplifting podcast? Do you want to be using words like, oh, I'm so stressed, or I'm so busy? Or do you want to be doing things like, I'm feeling really centered, I'm feeling really present right now, I have a lot of exciting things going on, right? Do you want to be engaging more in giving the people you love hugs or in yelling at them? Thinking about what are you bringing in, not just in terms of food, right? Do you want to be eating those nourishing foods, those vibrant produce items versus a candy bar? But also thinking in terms of energetically, what are you bringing in? And is that how you want your energy to be, right? Because as within, so without, as above, so below, we are constant reflections of our external reality, and our external reality is a reflection of our inner selves. And so taking a look at your life around you and really noticing what it says about your energy, what it says about where you're at in your energetic health and well-being. Just take a moment to notice and see if there's anything that you'd like to shift. So these are 20 of our favorite tips for energetic hygiene and protection. Know that your daily practice is your strongest practice, to quote one of my favorite yoga instructors, meaning that the more often you practice these rituals, the more often you practice energetic hygiene, the better it's going to be, the stronger your energy is going to be, the clearer your energy is going to be, and the better you are going to feel. So I encourage you to pick 1 to 3. Don't overwhelm yourself. Just pick a couple of these and try them for 21 days, right? It takes 28 days to form a habit. It takes 21 days for something to go from the energetic world into the physical world. Give it 21 days and see how you feel. Keep a journal. Notice how you feel after day 1, day 2, day 3. Rate yourself on a scale of 0 to 10. It doesn't have to be intense, but just something that helps you keep track of how you're feeling so that as you do this and as you cycle through all of these different rituals, tips, and techniques that I gave you, you can find the ones that work the best for you. And then you have a healing toolkit, right? You have your own medicine bag, to use a shamanic term. You have your own medicine bag full of tools and techniques that you can do to help uplift, clear, and protect your own energy. And if you have a tip or a technique that you like to use that wasn't on this list, I would love to hear about it. Send me a message on Facebook, join our Reiki Cafe community so you can share your tip with the rest of our amazing community of spiritual seekers and Reiki practitioners, or send us an email at admin@ReikiCafeUniversity.com. We would love to hear how you protect your energy, how you stay vibrant in and of yourself. And we thank you so much for taking the time to tune in today. I hope you got something out of this episode. At the very least, that you got a lovely smile. And until next time, have a wonderful day, week, month, and I'll see you next time on Reiki Cafe Radio.
Reiki Cafe Radio is sponsored by Reiki Cafe University, where your Reiki dreams become reality. Join us on Instagram or Facebook at Reiki Cafe University, watch our videos on YouTube, or visit the website to learn more about our colleges of Reiki, chakras, and business.
It's our aim to help you on your path to wellness, guiding you into confidence as you transmute your inner critic and say yes to you. We're here to help you bring your Reiki dreams into reality, and your path to abundance, health, and healing unfolds from here.
And love and light, Christine Renee.
And Izzy Wells.